Chris, Felger, and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that? Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
A lot to get to today. I think we're going to get to a lot of different stuff. We definitely have some Patriots items coming up later on in the program. Big Jim Murray actually has something that's bothering him quite a bit about their offseason so far, so we'll express that later on in the program. We'll give you some Kyrie Irving updates. All right, that's going to come on later on in the program as well. We'll definitely do some Bruins, including, I just want to tell you right now, including on the Bruins, if you like the Bruins and dislike me, you want to listen at 3 o'clock, okay? I'm just telling you something. If you enjoy hearing me getting spanked and you like the Bruins, you want to listen at 3 o'clock.
And it's a big spanking.
I'm just telling you, this is a doozy. This is a big one.
This one left a mark.
Okay, and we'll tell you more about it. It's sort of a tease. It's sort of a reveal. There's a debut. There's a premiere coming out today, and it involves this program. But I'll tell you again. If you like hockey, you like the Bruins, and you hate me, 3 o'clock, 3 p.m. here on 98.5 The Sports. But you know where we're starting today? Damn it, McCone, and you can shut your stupid face, because you know where we're starting?
Red Sox.
Red Sox. I don't care if you want
Very
to
excited.
Or not. I suggested today on the
email chain.
The email chain, and everyone, no one wanted to do it, including Jimmy Stewart, who's a freaking seamhead in baseball nerd from the old
when
school.
When did I say that?
I just felt a great reluctance. You weren't part of the reluctance?
No, I wrote emails. Did you see all the emails on details of Red Sox stuff?
I did. I didn't know that you
I hate when people do this to me.
They put
a quote in that I never said. What are we doing here?
I read your email. I didn't know you wanted to do it. I thought you were part of the anti-baseball crew.
No, Jimmy. No. Jimmy actually had a long breakdown about what he expects out of the team this
yeah,
season.
Yeah, I saw where, that.
How many emails did I write about the Red Sox, Mike? I'm into Red Sox baseball. Baseball reporters next week. I'm all for it. Let's go. Let's
Hold
do
on.
Red Sox.
Where do you say here that you want to do it? You just give me a whole this breakdown. You don't say that we should do it. So that's what I'm saying.
I'll be clear next time.
These two.
Yes, Mike, we should do baseball today. Neat.
Yeah, it was McCone and I that basically told you to go F yourself.
Yeah, no way. So you know what? The season starts a week from today, a-holes.
Yeah, I know.
It starts a week from today.
Baseball reporters on Monday with Maz Murray and I.
Baseball, your ass is in here for a fifth hour starting on Monday.
I lose my life starting on Monday.
We're starting with baseball, okay? Whether Stewart wants to do it or not.
I did.
And if you want to do baseball, how long we do it is up to you, seamheads. If you don't call and you don't continue the conversation, then it's going to be short. So if you want to talk Red Sox, we haven't done a lot of it this week or the last couple. Now is your chance, all right? I'm logged in, 617-779-0985. What interests you here with a week to go until the regular season starts? Starts a week from today. What interests you? What doesn't interest you?
There's only one thing right now that truly interests me with this team, and it's something that Chris Gasper just wrote about in the Globe, and it's the new manager. Alex Cora, Mr. Fun, and what his impact is going to be on this team of what I look at as underachievers and whiny millennials looking at the last couple of years of this team. Can he get the most out of this Red Sox team that, yay, has won back-to-back AL East titles and actually forge them into a real contender that's not going to puke all over themselves for the third consecutive postseason? Can he help turn what I think should be young cornerstone players like Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts into true leaders, which I thought was going to start to take place last year but obviously didn't? And can he get oversensitive babies like David Price to not be so defensive with the media and just focus on going out there and pitching every 5 days? It's his first managing gig. There's a lot of pressure
on
this guy.
Have you seen anything recently that you liked or disliked in that regard?
Well, I've disliked most of it because it's all been puppy dogs and rainbows since he got here. It's all about fun. Fun, don't you know? We're going to have a ping pong table in here. Let's have fun. We're going to keep it upbeat. It's about fun because they weren't having enough fun the last couple of years. That dance in the outfield, not fun enough. I'll show you fun. It's his first managing gig. It's a thankless job. The most thankless job in sports in this town. A lot of pressure on this guy. So I want to know if he's going to be able to squeeze what's all this talent. And it's a talented team. Can he squeeze the most out of it so that they can actually go on a deep playoff run? Or is he just going to be another in a long line of illustrious frauds like Joe Kerrigan and Bobby Valentine?
Okay, so Cora is no question I think the lead story on the team going into the year, because that's really the only thing they changed substantially other than J.D. Martinez. So thoughts there. And Murray already doesn't like what he's seeing because it's too fun. And I sort of agree with him. And I think Cora, I don't know, a lot of challenges there. I don't love a rookie manager in this spot. Said that from day one. So we'll see how that all plays out. Again, interested as well in what you've seen so far down there that would tell you that he gets it or doesn't get it. Here's two little things that interest me, and they shouldn't, and they're little, but one's really little. But one is Blake Swihart. And when I say little, he's going to be the 23rd guy on your roster or whatever. You know, he's going to be a bench player. So I really shouldn't care, except I do. Except I do. And Maz brought this up early in camp. And it's played out. So it's going to sound like I'm yelling at the Red Sox for something they haven't done. But if Brock Holt or Devin Marrero or one of these guys had made the team and Blake Swihart does not, that is a freaking crime. That's a crime. And Blake Swihart just interests me. I mean, he was a first-round pick for you. He was a guy that at one time was thought to be
the next Buster Posey.
Right. And in this next wave of Red Sox superstar kid, and like that was the guy. That was the guy you heard about. And then through injury or he just couldn't catch or whatever.
No, they ruined him. He couldn't catch, so they moved him to left field and he got hurt there, and that was it. Oh, we ruined Blake Swihart. But the kid's got pop in his bat, and you see that this spring.
Okay, so whether the team ruined him or whatever, he doesn't come. You know, he doesn't come and emerge like we all thought. But it's not too late. It's not too late. And it'd be criminal if he wasn't on the team. That if you didn't put him on the team and gave him a shot to just sort of emerge. You can emerge late. You can be a late bloomer. You can have fits and starts to begin your career for whatever reason. And then, you know, come in at 28 instead of 23, but still emerge and still be the guy. I mean, when you look at the ceiling of Brock Holt or Devin Marrero or Zule Wynn or, you know, who's got the highest ceiling?
Oh, no, it's Blake Swihart.
It's not even close. It's not even close. So it feels like that's what's happening. You know, Holt still has options. So you can send him down and not have to even risk losing him if you're worried about that. And who gives a flying poop about Devin Marrero or any of these other guys? Swihart belongs on the team. He belongs to get a sniff. And it's just about time that happens for him. Third base, left field. They talked about second base, but that hasn't happened yet. Whatever it is, first base, keep him on the team. See what happens.
And of all those names you just mentioned, Holt, bye.
See you.
Enough with the fan attachment with that guy. And the same with Devin Marrero as well.
Okay, but here's one that isn't so small that does really interest me, and that is J.D. Martinez, who still doesn't have a home run in 31 plate appearances this spring. I just thought I'd...
Saving him for the regular season.
Just thought I'd add that.
That's what people are saying.
No home runs in 31 plate appearances. Not that I count spring results. Unless they can serve an agenda, then you can use them. Otherwise, stats are meaningless in the spring. But he has no home runs in 31 plate appearances. He wants to play the outfield. Cora wants him to play the outfield. He's going to play the outfield. And so who's the odd man out? And the odd man out, you know, is Jackie Bradley. As Jason Mastrodonato writes in the Boston Herald today, Andrew Benintendi made his fifth start of the spring at center field on Tuesday. I don't know what the lineup was today. So Benintendi has been moving over to center 5 times. He's done that so far this spring. Jackie Bradley is the clear starter in center, but Cora said he intends to shake things up for some road games this year in order to get J.D. Martinez in the outfield. And so it's not just that. Like, Martinez, you can tell, really wants to play. In fact, Martinez is almost never DH'd. I didn't realize this. He has started only 38 games in his career at DH. He's only DH'd 38 times in his career. And now I'm reading from Sean McAdam in the Boston Sports Journal. He writes that he clearly wants to continue in the outfield. Asked Wednesday why it was important to continue playing in the field, he seemed surprised by the question. Quote, because I'm only 30 years old, he said. A hint of incredulousness in his voice. I can still feel I can play defense, and I like playing defense. I enjoy it. That's part of the game. DH is one of those positions you kind of transition to later on in your career. At my age? Not really. He says, we've talked, meaning he and the manager, and Cora has told me, I'm going to play the outfield. He loves the fact that I can play the outfield. We can kind of have a rotation out there where I can give the other outfielders blows. 162 games? It's almost a crime. It's a long season to give guys days off to give them their legs. It's big. It's a crime to play every day. So
that's the most baseball statement you'll ever hear from a player.
Right, so there's a little side piece of entitlement there from a baseball player. It's a crime now to play 162. But I love, if you want to talk about like an early indication of something that, well, I like and don't like. I don't like that they told Martinez he can play the outfield and he's under the impression that he's an outfielder. And now they've got to sort of manage this.
Well, I don't like it because it's further proof to me that they crowbarred this move in at the last minute due to pressure of, oh, you got to have a bat, got to get a bat, let's get a bat, we got to put a bat. Where are we going to put him? Well, we'll figure it out later.
But I love the fact that Jackie Bradley's the one out. And, I mean,
we're going to miss his defense, though.
You think about it. Is it even close?
No.
Who should be the guy who should sit? Is it even close? Is it even debatable? And, you know, whether J.D. Martinez wanted to crowbar himself in the lineup or not, or crowbar himself in the field or not, they should be sitting Jackie Bradley more than I think people realize.
Oh, but you're going to know all this is advanced stats, Mike. You can't. We're going to lose on the defense, everything else that Jackie Bradley Jr. brings to the game.
Oh, you're going to make the nerds cry by saying this.
So this is what, I mean, again, Martinez wants to get in the outfield. And so I think the team deserves some criticism there for, you know, a piece that doesn't exactly fit, and now they're going to cater to a guy because they promised it to him in the offseason. Like, that's not the way to do business. But put that aside. He's going to play the outfield. Mookie Betts was an MVP candidate. A lot of people think Andrew Benintendi will be an MVP candidate. Could you? I mean, if 162 is a crime, I'm sorry. Those guys should be in the 150s if they're healthy, right? You don't ever sit those two guys. Ever. They should be sitting Jackie Bradley. Do you think Jackie Bradley... Am I wrong to say that I think Jackie Bradley's a borderline everyday ball player?
No. With as streaky as he is at the plate? Absolutely not.
He's a 249 career hitter. 249 career hitter. And maybe the best, can't even call him the best center fielder in the league.
No, with this logjam, he's the odd man out. It's obvious.
But, would you just say Jackie Bradley Jr., is he a lock, stock, and barrel, no questions asked, everyday ball player?
I mean, if you suck.
On a bad team, right? On a bad team. Yeah. If Jackie Bradley's your fourth outfielder, that means you're good. That means you have a good team and a good outfield. But the guy hits 249, and so this is part of what it is, and I think you're hitting on it, Murray. To me, it's a backlash against the nerds, having to be told in the offseason, when they were looking at Jose Abreu, that Jackie Bradley and his 249 average is a more valuable guy to play every day.
Yeah, it was Jose Abreu.
Than Jose Abreu, who's been 3,100 every year of his career, McCone. Jose Abreu is 3,100 every year of his career and is a 300 average. And there are nerds out there, Pete Abraham among them, will tell you that Jackie Bradley Jr., career average of 249,
is more valuable
than Jose Abreu. So I remember doing those shows, right, in the winter
when we were
talking about Jose Abreu. And I was so incensed that I've now become anti-Jackie Bradley Jr. because I just want to argue against those nerds, because those kids, those people are ruining baseball and ruining sports. You tell me that you'd rather have Jackie Bradley Jr. because of what? His UZR? What? Than Jose Abreu? So never mind J.D. Martinez or Jackie Bradley. So that's what I like. That poor Jackie and his UZR is going to be taking a seat. And he should be taking a seat. So we're starting baseball, damn it.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger and Mass.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
J.D. Martinez, he's been great. Hanley was joking with him today that he hasn't hit a home run, but I think his approach has been perfect. He's a guy that he stays with his craft. He has an idea what he wants to do on a daily basis, and there's certain days that he just locked in the other way, and some other days he's patient. Some other days are he's aggressive. I think it's just part of the process. He just needs to be ready for Tampa. But being very happy playing the outfield. He's been great. You know, you put him in a spot, and he'll throw the ball to the right base. He makes good decisions. Running the bases, we see him go from first to third, tagging from second. We're very happy with JD, and not only that, like I said before, what he's bringing to the clubhouse. There's more iPads lately. I'm watching pitchers than early in camp.
Who should hate the idea of JD Martinez playing the outfield?
I don't know. Tell me.
Red Sox beat writers.
Who
like to tell me that Jackie Bradley Jr. is more valuable than Jose Abreu. So they should, if you'd rather have Jackie Bradley than Jose Abreu, you'd sure as hell rather have Jackie Bradley out there than J.D. Martinez. It's the same argument, isn't it?
Yeah, that pile of crap that they've been trying to shovel down our throats here, especially when you were talking about Jose Abreu, they were possibly in on him, but no, you're going to lose the RZR and all the other advanced stats and the nerd crap. It doesn't matter. The guy's so inconsistent at the plate. If you have a guy like J.D. Martinez, he should be in the outfield if he wants to be playing.
We're starting baseball, damn it. There's a Felger spanking, worse than the one Jimmy just gave me, a really epic, all-time kind of Felger spanking coming at 3. You're not going to believe it. It's basically unprecedented what you're going to hear at 3 o'clock. But we're starting baseball. You can join us at 617-779-0985. John at UMass. Go ahead, John.
I just want to say the fact that any trade talks for like a power hitter that were stalled because they didn't want to give up Jackie Bradley looks entirely stupid right now, because he's not even going to play close to 100 games. he won't even sniff it. And the fact that they passed on any power bat for that is criminal.
Oh, my God. Go back and read this stuff. You know, not just I beat up on the local beat guys, of course, but the Fangraph guys are all into Jackie Bradley as well. Again, Pete Abraham. And this was there was a Fangraph kid. Jimmy did put that in his email. I didn't paste it. But there was, you know, this comes from Advanced Nerds. But Pete Abraham in the Boston Globe wrote over the offseason that to land Abreu, the Red Sox would likely have to trade off of their major league roster. The White Sox have shown interest in Jackie Bradley Jr. previously. But while Abreu offers more power, Bradley is a more complete and arguably more valuable player given his defense and base running. Base running. McCone, do you watch baseball?
I do, yeah.
Does Jackie Bradley strike you as an elite base runner?
He jumps out at me whenever I watch the Sox. No, I'm being completely sarcastic.
Yeah,
yes,
I mean, he's fine. He's good. But is it like, would that put you over the top?
To third speed, Michael.
Would his base running put him over the top of Jose Abreu, who, in 4 years in the majors, home run RBI? Here they are, 4 years, McCone. 36-107, 30-101, 25-100, 33-102. Is Jackie Bradley that good of a base runner that you'd rather have his base running?
No.
Than 36-107, 30-101, 33-102 last year? Batting average for Abreu, 317, 290, 293, 304. Jackie Bradley's a career, I said 249. He's 239. Bradley's a career 239 hitter. And you've got people telling me that you'd rather have Bradley than Abreu.
And what did all that aggressiveness on the base pass do for you last year anyway?
And the only reason I'm going back to that now.
Waste.
The only reason I'm going back to that is because J.D. Martinez has to get himself in the outfield. He wants it. He's lobbying for it. It feels to me like the team promised it to him in free agency. And so something has to give. And naturally, Bradley and his 239 career average is going to give. Where's all the uproar from the stat nerds about how that's going to weaken the Red Sox? You tell me, stat nerds, Fangraph boy. Is that going to weaken the Red Sox without Bradley's UZR there? And Benintendi goes to center. So now you're weaker in two spots, really. You're weaker in center and you're weaker in left or wherever, if Martinez plays right on the road, you're probably weaker in two spots. Run the numbers and tell me that they're weaker. If you're being consistent, you'd rather have Bradley than Abreu, then you'd rather have Bradley than the Martinez, I think. So that's something that's obviously crawled up my tailpipe as I consider the Red Sox. What's crawled up yours, Angelo and Everett?
Yeah, the way I look at it is this. Alex Cora, we won't know how even has any chemistry with the team 40 games in. And David Price, I'm worried about it. Will his arm hold up the whole year? Because more than likely he'll pass gas and hurt a butt muscle and he'll be out for the rest of the year.
Okay, so Price, a big question mark. On Cora, I mean, I agree. It's probably the story of the team. I just think there's no way to know till they hit their first three-game losing streak, Murray. I mean, really.
Or if there's some kind of internal meltdown or, you know, Price starts getting, you know, mad with the media again. Like, until there's a crisis, we're not really going to know what this guy's all about.
Certainly. But if there's crisis and they're winning, that's, you know, I think it really, you know, he'll start to hear from the guys upstairs, from the guys downstairs. You know, he'll get it from all ends, as John Farrell said, when you get that first little losing patch.
Yeah.
It's just, it's all.
Lose a Yankee series.
Yeah, you know? Something like that. Right now it's all, you know, show ponies and unicorns with Alex Guerrero, and he's on a honeymoon. He's going to be on a honeymoon. I think it's just been really hard to tell with him, and it's going to be really hard to tell. He loves himself some J.D. Martinez, and he's got to, you know, this is a little challenge for him because, again, the Sox, on paper, are set in the outfield, and he's got to take a regular out to get J.D. Martinez in there, who doesn't really naturally fit, but that's just what they've chosen to do, and who goes? And is Jackie going to be okay with that?
Well, I don't know. You know, it's the guy who felt like he was slighted by John Farrell in the first place. So here comes the new guy. Is the same thing going to rear its head again? And, you know, he potentially becomes a problem in the clubhouse. You know, that's something that could be the first big issue he's got to deal with.
Frank in the car, what do you think?
I just had an idea. I mean, they converted Mookie Betts from an infielder, and if I remember correctly, a second baseman, to an outfielder. And I was saying, why not put him at second? Get one of your best hitters in a position that's hard to find good hitting, and then just slide Benintendi over
sure.
to right.
Sure. Yeah, Betts back to second. No shot. And I'll tell you why. Not that I knew this, but I read Sean McAdam today in the Boston Sports Journal. Betts is one of the best outfielders in the game, writes McAdam. Saving an estimated 63 runs over the last 2 years, according to Fangraphs. That is the most of any player at any position in the game. According to Fangraphs, Mookie Betts has saved more runs defensively than any player in the game over the last 2 years. You think the Red Sox are going to move that player?
No.
Those nerds over there?
No.
No shot.
I'll take their word for it, but he is consistent out there.
He's excellent. And if I'm being honest, I mean, they probably shouldn't. When's the last time he played second base with any sort of, was it 4 years ago? 5 years ago? But that would alleviate a problem if you're sitting here waiting for
Pujoy.
No, I have
heard that one, and that one bugs me. Like, but don't mess with that.
We've got Shane in the car. Hi, Shane. What do you got?
Hi, guys. To me, the question going into this year is all about David Price. What can we expect from this guy? Last year, he was supposed to have season-ending surgery, and then all of a sudden, he becomes, I think, our most valuable weapon in the playoffs. What is he going to be this year? I have no idea.
Yeah, to me, it's a big picture thing, too. He can opt out after this year, and we can all be rid of each other. He can be rid of us because he hates us. He hates you. He hates us. He hates it here. And if he pitches well, he can opt out and get his money somewhere else.
The more I think about it, and Maz has brought this up before, when you look at this offseason and when you've had guys, big-name guys, even like Jake Arrieta, who just landed with, I think it was Philadelphia, he's got to look at the landscape of the league now and say, no, you know what?
He might not get it out there.
I'm actually going to stay, even if he pitches well. I don't think we're going to be rid of him.
So there's that piece. So just keep an eye on that. But then just, you know, again, he obviously came to camp trying to take some sort of leadership role and a vocal role. How long do you think that's going to last?
Well, not. I think internally, I think that, you know, because I think he gets along really well with those guys and did from the jump. You know, he's buying those Jordan cleats and everything like that. So it may take there. I don't know how good that is for some of those younger players. I think we'll all look at it and scoff. David Price is a leader.
Okay, so again, we have a Bruins world premiere coming up at 3 o'clock. Relates to a Felger spanking that heretofore has not. I don't think you've ever heard anything like this.
Big red handprint.
Okay, so there's. I do. I've got a bear print across my asthma cone, like you read about. So that's coming at 3 o'clock. Honestly, you won't believe it. We'll give you a Kyrie Irving update as well, and your phones continuing at 617-779-0985.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-competitive and Mass. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Anything new today on Kyrie Irving, McCone, on the Twitter machine?
No, still waiting for an update.
Okay, so Steve Bulpet and Boston Herald last night on Twitter said Kyrie Irving's knee exam that you first heard about here on Felger and Maz, courtesy of Tony Maserati, the second opinion slash specialist visit, will be today. Kyrie Irving's knee exam will be today. He may just need rest, but if physicians and Irving conclude he needs a procedure on his knee, expect his readiness for next season to weigh heavily on when to have it done. And then in parentheses, concerning the Celtics' chances this year, after all their injuries, this should probably go without saying. So what he's saying is, so long as he's ready to go next year, that will determine when he has this procedure. Meaning, if he waits till after the year and that's going to put the beginning of next year in jeopardy, do it now. Okay? Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Do you agree with that approach or not?
No, like, what's the big deal with missing October?
Thank you. Thank you. I thought the same thing.
That's kind of annoying.
Who cares about the start to next year? If you were an NFL quarterback, I would say yes.
Yeah.
Make sure you're ready to go. All those games matter. And yeah, be ready to go beginning of next year if you're not going to win it all this year. In basketball, what does October, November mean?
Precious little.
So, to me, I wouldn't really care about that.
No, me either. Like, if we're talking months, you know, months, plural, then okay, I can. But if you miss October into mid-November, like, who the hell cares?
Who the hell cares? And in the interim, you can go to the NBA Finals, and you're not. And so here, to me, this is the line of demarcation. Can you do any more damage?
Right. That's all it comes down to. If the doctor tells him, if you're going to do more damage here by continuing to play on it, then he has to have the surgery right now or as soon as possible. But if it's about managing pain, well, manage the pain and keep playing.
Yes.
At least play during the playoff run here.
And he wants to fight. Yes, but I would not worry about the beginning of next year. I don't think. Am I wrong about that, McCone?
No, it's an 82-game season. Who cares about October?
I just think if you're rushing your two most important assets other than Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum back from injury and Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving for a shot at making the finals when the ultimate goal here is to win a championship, I don't know if I'm on board with that. I'm not on board with that. I wouldn't rush him back to try to get him ready for ultimately a season where you're not going to win a championship.
Going to the finals doesn't mean anything to you.
I think the goal is to win a championship, right?
That's
what you're playing for. And he's your most important asset by far on this team. I don't know why you would try to risk further injury on this by bringing him back in a season when you're not going to win the championship. Make sure he's ready for next year.
Guy that normally sits in that seat said the whole thing was a waste of time during the playoffs last year, too, McCone. He took a lot of heat for that. Be careful.
Do you feel the same way this year, though, Murray? I mean, isn't this a glorified bridge season?
Look, when this team is all healthy and they're playing at their best, I legitimately thought they are the best team in the East, and they could make a, they could have a competitive finals. They're not going to win it, unless it's maybe Houston, but you could have a more competitive finals than you would have last year. Last year played out the way, pretty much exactly the way I thought it was.
Yeah, no, I hear you. To me, McCone, there's value in making the NBA finals to me. More value in making the, even if you get poleaxed, like you did last year in the East finals, I think there's just something about getting by LeBron, emerging as the clear, clear second team, certainly the clear team in the East, and maybe the second team in the whole league. And I think then if you're trying to convince Anthony Davis or there's a free, that next big shoe to drop.
But this year it's so important because
you clearly, I think it enhances your reputation as a destination.
This year it's so important because you have so many national talking heads that cover the league that doubt this team and have
totally.
Throughout the whole season. Last year it was a cute story. This year, I think most of these people aren't watching this team other than the times they're on TNT or they have the national game. And they have something to prove, and I think that they can as long as all these guys are healthy. That's why, yeah, this year, go for it.
Okay, you want to weigh in on that? 617-779-0985. Ron in New Jersey, though, back to the Red Sox. Hi, Ron.
Yeah, hi guys. I was wondering, I thought all the sabermetricians hate base stealing and taking risks on the base paths. So now base running is a reason to keep Jackie Bradley?
I'm just telling you what was written last year. The head nerd at Fangraphs there, and then Pete Abe, sort of, echoing it. We heard this, that Jackie Bradley may be a more valuable player than Jose Abreu because of his defense, which, is obvious, and his base running. I mean, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Base running. On a team, by the way, that's been thrown out more than any other team in Major League Baseball the last couple of years.
Was it over 70 last year, Jimmy? Did they get caught on the base pass over 70 times?
I believe it was 71.
It's insane.
And we're going to keep that over Jose Abreu with his 301 career average, 100-plus RBI every year he's been in the majors. And we're going to... Okay, so I'm going back to an argument that's not relevant today because we don't have Abreu. All I'm saying is, where's the consistency from Pete Abe? If Pete Abe would rather have Jackie Bradley than Jose Abreu, then he must not like the prospect of J.D. Martinez getting outfield reps because that means Jackie Bradley's out of the lineup. Right?
You would think.
I would think. I don't know. That to me feels logical. Here's Adam in Chicago. Hi, Adam.
Hey, guys. Quick thing. My biggest worry, I don't see a good bridge to the back end of the bullpen, and I feel like it's deja vu with Jackie Bradley Jr. in the same conversation that's had every day in this town with Jason Hayward, in that at least Jackie Bradley's not on a $228 million deal.
So, I don't quite get that analogy. I don't care. Do you?
No.
Jason Hayward is a defensive-only player that Theo Epstein signed for a large contract and has underachieved offensively in Chicago.
I'm sorry, Jason Hayward. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, Jackie Bradley didn't cost you much. Fine. Great. To me, it's about what you value. And, maybe a little, when I say value in terms of winning games and the direction of the team, like for years, it's been about sort of run prevention and, right, because they couldn't hit for power. So it's about defense and base running and trying manufacture runs and all that. And so are you going in a different direction this year? They have 30 home runs, I think, this spring. Jimmy, is that what you put? 30 home runs?
That's correct.
So far this spring. Last year they had 38 all spring. So early on, they're not hitting any more home runs. J.D. Martinez has none in 31 plate appearances.
They're almost, I think they're three doubles away from having more doubles last spring training. This spring training than last spring training.
Okay, so I mean they're
going to double you to death.
They're scoring runs, but they're still a doubles team, is what you're saying.
That's what they've been.
So anything about the new approach, anything about the new way they're going about it, it hasn't manifested itself yet. But again, it's spring. These results don't count unless they're negative, and then we can bring them up like J.D. Martinez.
Their batting average is way down.
Has no home runs in 31 plate appearances, including today on the bullpen. I usually say do that on your own time, like I would say the offensive line. But you tell me, getting to Keg Krimble. How do you feel about Kimble in the first place? Hasn't he missed most of camp?
Yeah, is he going to be ready? Maz brought this up the other day. My bigger concern is the back end of that rotation. So many people want to tell me, the Red Sox have the best pitching in the American League East. Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Price and Sale. Can you really trust Rick Porcello after a bad year? The Cy Young year was clearly the anomaly when you look at the bigger picture.
I just don't pick apart the starting pitching. It's the strength of the team, isn't it? If
Drew Pomeranz caught lightning in a bottle last year. Do you expect him to repeat that?
No, but I expect Parcello to bounce back. See, I think Pomeranz and Parcello are the exact kind of, you know, good, not great pitcher that sucks one year and then is good the next and ping-pongs back and forth. So I think Pomeranz is down, Parcello's back up. I do. And who knows, maybe it's Eddie Rodriguez. But like those are the kind
of... How many years we've been saying that? Oh, this is the year for Eduardo.
Those are the kind of pitchers you just...
Guys, he's always either broken down, Stephen Wright can't stay healthy.
Well, if Murray, if you have questions about the starting pitching, then you think they suck.
I think they're overrated. I think they're wildly overrated.
If you think starting pitching is a problem, then you think they are not a playoff team, like that they actually blow.
No, I think they're a wild card team. They're going to squeak in, and they're going to lose in the first round again.
Okay, but again, the starting pitching is on your list of worries?
The back end of it, yeah. Yeah, it's Price and Sale and question marks to me. That's all it is.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Carlo protects, gave it away. Brodziak up top. Gunnarsson shoots. Hudobin the save. Rebound. Hudobin, what a stop! He denied Barbashev coming in, and the horn will sound.
By far, his best save of the game. Not even close. Sprawling to his left. The initial shot came in. There was a rebound. It was kept alive in front of the net that time. By Yaskin, and it was Barbashev, I believe, that came across and got the next chance, and Hudobin sprawling to his left just gets a piece of it. There haven't been many of those all night for either goaltender.
And that'll send the game into overtime.
Anton Hudobin with that save. That was a ridiculous save from Anton Hudobin. Did you watch the game?
I did, yeah. No, that was awesome. And I thought the game was mostly a dog. I thought that play and Donato getting the goal, like, those were the highlights. The rest of it, I mean, look, they're down so many men. It was just kind of like slapping it out there, it felt like. Other than those two particular plays, I thought Hudobin kind of got skunked there in overtime because Greslick was backing up, screened him. Game over. There you go. But overall, look, I mean, you mentioned the 100 points. They're in the playoffs. We knew they were going to go anyway. But considering how we were talking about this team throughout the first couple of months, and again, you declared it over after that game in Las Vegas.
I did. I declared no such thing.
Yes, oh no, you most certainly did.
Folks, listen at 3 o'clock. Listen at 3 o'clock.
It's been a hell of a year for them.
I got something for you at 3 o'clock. If you hate me and like the Bruins, listen at 3 o'clock. For a spanking like I've never heard before. Something's going to happen to me at 3 o'clock that I think is almost unprecedented in this city. Okay? So if that's enough setup, but listen, 3 o'clock, we'll tell you what we're talking about. The Bruins are debuting something today.
The bear took a big old chunk out of that ass.
And we'll give it to you at 3 o'clock here on Felger and Mass, both on the radio and the simulcast. It's a visual thing, too, so you want to be watching on NBC Sports Boston. But as you mentioned, it's hard to gauge with these games. I mean, last night, no Bergeron, no McAvoy, no Chara, no Backes, no Rick Nash, no DeBrusque, and then Krug at the end gets scratched right before the game. So how do you, you know, I think they do well to get points in these games. And I think Hudobin was a huge part of it. That last save was ridiculous. And just in the interest of fairness, okay, just in the interest of fairness, and, you know, because, just to give you the facts, last 10 games, Anton Hudobin, .907 save percentage, .254 goals against. Tuukka Rask, .886 save percentage, .329 goals against average. So,
and some of those games, Rask has given up four goals, five goals the other night.
Folks, that's a big spread.
Yeah.
That's a big spread. Again, goals against, Rask, .329, Hudobin, .254, save percentage, Rask, .886, which blows. If you're sub-900 in this league, in this day and age, that sucks. .886 save percentage for Rask in his last 10. Hudobin, .907. So, notice I'm not saying start Hudobin. I'm not saying that.
Nope. Are you insinuating that?
I'm leaving a little gap there. I'm just leaving a pause for your thoughts. What do those numbers say to you?
Look, Rask has been a concern, that's all small c concern, over the last 10 or so games. And, you know, this last one that he played, he gives up the five, three of them bad deflections, nothing you can really do about it. But, you know, when he's left a lot to be desired here, even in last year's one quick little run that they had against Ottawa, to me, the one takeaway is just rest him. Look, they're sitting 7 points up in the Leafs right now, so my bigger takeaway from last
just
night is...
Just rest him.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing with the thought, because you probably should. But can you believe that? How much rest does a guy need? That fella needs a lot of rest. to be at his best, I guess.
Cassidy's talked about it before. We all know it. So fine, if it's about maintenance. I don't know. How about you play like two more games between now and the start of the playoffs? I could live with that.
So let me just ask you this. Well, I'm playing Rask because he's a better goalie. But if Rask is in the postseason giving up 3 to 4 goals a game with an .886 save percentage, do you think they would ever?
Let's paint a better hypothetical. Say they.
Do you think they would ever?
Yeah, absolutely. Cassidy?
Too.
Of course he would.
He would.
He's already proven that he would. Sit your ass down. You're costing us.
So
say they start a series. They're down 0-2, and they're losing games 4-3, 5-4.
Oh, yeah.
His ass is on the bench.
No question.
And he should be.
No
question. Hudobin's no fluke here.
Okay, but we're not at that stage, are we?
No.
Okay, thank you. But I'm just, again, in the interest of fairness, I'm just telling
you. That's what we do here.
Yeah, I'm telling you, and I've mentioned this all year, Hudobin has been just as good, if not better, than Rask. He has been. And this is why I thought the conversation of Rask for Vezina was kind of stupid. Because they were the exact same team with the other guy in net. So it was about the team or it was about the goalie? It's not like the goalie was carrying you. You and the goalies have been, it's sort of been hand in hand. Rask never carried you. You were playing amazing, and he played very well right alongside you. But now that there's injuries and there's guys out, I don't know, how's he been?
Not that great.
He's certainly been no better than the other guy. His record's better. His record in the last 10 is 7-2-1, and Hudobin's only 5-4-1. But when you look at...
That's just because they've been a buzzsaw offensively.
When you look at the numbers inside the numbers, I mean, that's almost a full goal a game here in the last 10. And the save percentages are... All right, so I'm just pointing that out for posterity. You can weigh in on that. 617-779-0985. Ryan Donato scores for you again.
It's a fun story.
Did he get a hall pass? How was he able to skip class?
Yeah, that I can't speak to. I don't know. I don't know what his class schedule is. I don't know if he got, if he talked to the dean at Harvard and they figured it out here for the rest of the semester. It's a fun story, though.
Is it fun? To me, it was fun the first day or two.
No, just his name. That you know, his two games, two goals, pretty awesome.
Okay, he didn't play great last night. And they did a good job on NBC sort of laying this out and giving you a few highlight packages where you saw he lost the puck, he was behind the play, he didn't control a couple scoring chances. Maybe he was a little winded because he had to fly in last night because he had to go to class on Tuesday and miss practice in St. Louis. So I said it yesterday, I'll say it again. I found it fun and kind of cute for the first 24, 48 hours. He still lives in the dorm, and he missed practice in St. Louis yesterday to attend class. Okay, that's sort of cute. It ends there. It ends there. I don't know. Are you going to feel good if okay, I guess he has a lot of classes on Tuesdays. This is the big day, the school day for him. If he's missing Tuesdays the rest of the way, how do you feel about that?
No, you're a professional now. You're getting a check cut to you by the Boston Bruins.
Okay, so this is what I'm saying. The story's a little less cute and a little less funny from this point forward. If I'm the Bruins or I'm a Bruins fan. I don't want to dump on the Donatos, and they've done, obviously, it's a great hockey family, and a lot of respect for the whole family and his father and his uncle and all of it. I love the Donatos. And we all should. We have a good hockey family here in Boston. All of that. But I don't know. If the kid's missing for class, that's going to bug me. That's going to bug me as a Bruins follower, a Bruins fan. That's going to bug me. You get a day. So apparently on Tuesday, he missed because, again, most of his classes are on Tuesday, and he was able to go from class to class and talk to his professors face-to-face and sort of map out a schedule of what they're going to do and how they're going to...
Yeah, of course there was going to be chaos there. I mean, everything happened so fast for the kids. So, okay, all right, yeah, allow that little 48 hours, that blip, and we get to talk about it, and it's a fun story. But now, no, especially now that it's about to be playoff time and we need you, no. Sorry, put off class, figure it out, Skype into a class and talk to your professor then if you have to.
Correct. Enough. Please. Missed all that time for the Olympics, but you're not going to miss time for the down the stretch into the Stanley Cup playoffs? Come on. And look, so I'm not going to, yell at someone for something they haven't done yet. You'll give him a day or, a day or two. He signed and he played immediately, so fine. You get a day or two to straighten your stuff out. That's fine. Anyone who's traded or signed, you get a day to move out or get your kid out of school or whatever, so you get a day, fine. I don't want to hear him missing for school. I don't want to hear it. Does anyone? Does anyone hear him missing for school?
No.
And he was, he scored for you last night. It was your only goal, but it was sort of a gift. It bounces off the ref. And other than that, he was not as dangerous as he was the night before. Was he tired? Because he had to fly in late? Because he was in class all day the day before? So, again, I don't want to hear that from Donato. Do you think there should have been a suspension or there should be a suspension on that Krejci hit?
Yeah, the inconsistency in the NHL with the suspensions would drive me nuts. So Backus essentially got whacked for the same thing for 3 games. He had no record. This guy, he's been whacked for it a couple of times before, and he gets nothing today. And it looked to me like he left his skates. you know, the NHL, the way that they broke this down, they say he didn't leave his skates, and this is why the head was down, so it was clean, so they didn't whack him with any suspension. But I think there's an inconsistency there, and that's what pisses me off.
You're nodding your head, McCone.
No, yeah, I'm with Murray on that one, too. And it just came down, by the way, Shen's not going to be disciplined for that hit last night.
Okay. I think we're headed to a thing with the NHL playoffs. Forget these, it'll be both. Goaltender interference and these hits to the head. What's a hit to the head? What isn't a hit to the head? And there's just going to, you know, there's going to be all these plays as they go into the playoffs where you're going to come out of these games saying, we don't know what's what. We don't know what's what. We don't know which way it's going to go. And there's going to be a lot of howling at the refs. And I think the Bruins fans might have a little bit of a case from last night.
Well, with Shen, he's been hit with charging twice before. You don't think that should have been looked at and that hit? Didn't it look like he left his skates?
Yeah, it did. So look, I think it was similar to the McAvoy hit with Hornquist a couple weeks ago that I thought should not have been penalized because McAvoy's head was sorted down, and I thought this
McAvoy
was...
McAvoy was a little bit more squared up, too.
They aren't exactly alike, but I thought it was, comparable, but I don't know the way some of these are called. I mean, if Backus gets three games for that, then last night has to be something, right? It's just, and I think we're going to be in a year here where we're going to see a lot of these. We're going to see a lot of them. So get, you know, prepared to show up the next day and bitch about these calls or non-calls. We're going to do some Bruins coming up next, including, again, a spanking... Like you may never have heard before, I think the spanking you're about to witness is unprecedented in the history of Boston. I'm not kidding, McCone. I don't think this is hyperbole to say that you're about to hear something and see something that has never been done, at least in the 30 years I've lived here. I've never seen or heard this before. And you'll hear it right after McCone's update here. No commercials, so don't go anywhere.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.